Psalm 79. O God, the nations have invaded your inheritance. They have defiled your holy temple. They have laid Jerusalem in ruins. They have given the dead bodies of your servants for food to the birds of the heavens, to the flesh of your godly ones, to the beasts of the earth. They have poured out their blood like water round about Jerusalem, and there was no one to bury them. We have become a reproach to our neighbors, a scoffing and derision to those around us. How long, O Lord, will you be angry forever? Will your jealousy burn like fire? Pour out your wrath upon the nations which do not know you, and upon the kingdoms which do not call upon your name. For they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his habitation. Do not remember the iniquities of our forefathers against us. Let your compassion come quickly to meet us, for we are brought very low. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name, and deliver us and forgive our sins for your name's sake. Why should the nations say, "Where is their God?" Let there be known among the nations in our sight vengeance for the blood of your servants which has been shed. Let the groaning of the prisoner come before you. According to the greatness of your power, preserve those who are doomed to die. And return to our neighbors sevenfold into their bosom the reproach with which they have reproached you, O Lord. So we, your people, and the sheep of your pasture will give thanks to you forever. To all generations we will tell of your praise. I don't know whether or not it was, but that psalm could have easily been written during the time of Joel. Please bow with me. Mighty God, Lord, thank you. That doesn't seem like enough, but it's all the words that I have. Thank you. You are a God that loves to restore. We also know, Lord, that you are a God of judgment, and sometimes we don't see how that can go together, but it does. And sometimes, Lord, we are not going to get you all figured out because you are God and we are man. Help us to be okay with that as well. Help us to trust, believe, and walk in your will because you are Almighty God. And we love you. Thank you, Lord. Pray that you'll be with me at this time, that I'll speak from your word to your glory. Thank you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
This morning we're going to be looking at Joel chapter 3, verses 18 through 21. Joel chapter 3, verses 18 through 21. As I mentioned before, people view God differently. Some people, when they read the Old Testament especially, all they see is a God of wrath, a God of judgment, a God that's ready to pounce. I see a God that wants to restore.
Amen.
See, when I look at the story of the flood, yes, a lot of people died. It's not a children's story. There's a lot of death and destruction there. But I see the story of God baptizing the whole world.
Amen.
Oh. Cleansing, restoring. Verse 18. And in that day the mountains will drip with sweet wine, and the hills will flow with milk, and all the brooks of Judah will flow with water, and a spring will go out from the house of the Lord to the water of the valley of Shittim. Egypt will become a waste, and Edom will become a desolate wilderness, because of the violence done to the sons of Judah, in whose land they have shed innocent blood. But Judah will be inhabited forever, and Jerusalem for all generations, and I will avenge their blood, which I have not avenged, for the Lord dwells in Zion. In that day, this is a continuation of the same judgment. He's already said that in that day he's going to restore. He's talked about then right away judgment. So now we have restoration. In that day, and I think he gives us symbols. I don't think we're intended to see this literally. In that day, the mountains will drip with wine, new wine, or grape juice. Now, even though I think that's a symbol, there's a literalness to this as well. If we've been watching the Vanderlaan videos and we notice that they planted their vineyards on mountains. And so God is saying, I'm going to restore the promised land to that land that is flowing with milk and honey. He mentioned that in Exodus 3 when he was getting them prepared to come out of Egypt. And he says, I'm going to take you to a land that is flowing with milk and honey. And again, that's not a literal thing. Here it says the hills are going to flow with milk. And again, in those videos, we saw that a lot of times there... By the way, they didn't often drink cow's milk.
No.
It was goat's milk. And we saw that they often, the shepherds were on the mountainsides. The hills are going to flow with milk. It's about abundance. It's about God saying, okay, you've been punished. The nations have taken advantage of your weakness. I'm going to judge them and I'm going to restore you and I'm going to bring you back to what you were meant to be.
Amen.
Amen.
Olive brooks are going to flow with water. I'm not sure we get how important that is because, you know, right now we're in a flood warning. I don't know if you knew that. We're often in a flood warning. Even when we're in a drought, we have water right next to us. We just turn the tap and it comes right out. They lived in a land that was often lacking water. Water was life to them. And he says, I'm going to bring you back and this land is going to have water flowing in all of its brooks. And then he says this amazing thing. He says that the springs will go out from the house of the Lord. Now, Jerusalem didn't have any natural springs in the city. Matter of fact, Hezekiah had to dig a tunnel to bring water in. This is not a literal thing, but it is an image that often comes up in the Bible. And in Ezekiel 47, it says, the water, this river, is going to flow out of the sanctuary of God, and everything that water touches will spring life. The Revelation, the author of Revelations, he picks that up in Revelation 22. I know a lot of people think that's a vision of heaven, and maybe it is, but I think it's a vision of the church. And you have the water coming out of the very throne room of God, and you have the trees of life on either side, and there's no longer just one. Now there's a lot of them. And the nations are invited in to drink the water.
Amen, that's right.
The water, God, is the source of life. That's the image. We might think it's other things. God is the source of life.
That's right.
Hold on to that image. Matter of fact, he goes on and says it's gonna flow to the valley of Shittim. It took me all week to be able to say that, Valley. I'm like, the valley of... I don't say that word. Thank you very much, God. Actually, the word means acacia trees. And the word valley is literally wadi. Acacia trees can exist on next to no water. You see what he's saying is, and a wadi was a place that was normally dry, but in the rainy season, it could become a torrent. The word can also mean a torrent. It doesn't mean valley. What he's saying is that the life of God is going to come from his presence and is going to reach the driest place in the land.
That's right.
Now hold on to that image. We're going to come back to it. And then he shifts and says, okay, let me talk about Egypt and Edom. And Egypt and Edom were common. They were often held up as the enemies of God's people and therefore the enemies of God. They're going to become a wasteland. A place where nobody can dwell. Again, I don't think we're intended to take this literally, although I've never been there, but I've heard there are places in the land of Egypt that are pretty desolate. But that could be also true of Judah. See, his point is, I'm going to reverse the fortunes. These lands are going to be punished. I'm going to judge them, and I'm going to make you a place where people will always dwell. Why Egypt and Edom? Because they've done violence, the sons of Judah. Because they shed innocent blood. It's not just the Exodus that I think we're talking about, although that, I think that that's a great story of how they shed innocent blood, right? All the babies, let's just chuck them into the Nile. There's too many of these dang slaves anyway. Let's get rid of them. Innocent blood. Edom is south of the Dead Sea. See what he's talking about? He's already dealt with the nations on the western coast. And he says, we're going to judge them. Now he's dealing with the nations from the south. Because they also preyed on the weakness of Israel, of Judah. God punished them, and they needed that punishment because they had been disobedient. But after the punishment, they were left vulnerable. And these nations came in and they preyed on their weakness. God doesn't like that. We need to understand that our God is a God of justice. And I know we've talked a lot about that in the book of Joel. Probably not the only place we'll talk about that. Our God is a God of justice. He is a God that stands with those who are oppressed.
That's right. Amen.
And if we're going to be followers of God, that's where we need to stand as well.
That's right.
So, a while back, there was in the news a lot about this caravan coming from Central America. And a lot of that news was bunch of criminals. As a matter of fact, I saw several memes that are like, if they're trying to get into this country illegally, what do you think they're going to do when they get here? In the first place, do you know they're going to try to get in illegally? So, the times that I've been down in Honduras, I heard several people say, America is little work, lot of pay. Honduras is lot of work, little pay. See, most of them have somebody who actually lives here that they know who are related to, and they get word back that they're like, this is the land of opportunity. And now in Honduras, violence is erupting, corruption is all over the place, they can't feed their babies and they're desperate, they just want to get to America, and we're sitting there going, bunch of criminals. I don't have the answer, that's not my point. My point is, can we understand it from the other side? See, sometimes we look at the God of judgment and we don't hear the voice of people crying out like in Psalm 79 saying they have killed us and our blood has flown and they haven't even let us bury our dead, which to the Israelites was so important. Their bodies are eaten by birds and beasts and they've just preyed on us. They destroyed your temple. They've done all these things. God, how long are you going to let this happen? Have you ever, ever cried out, how long?
Yes.
Can we see it from the other side? It's really easy for us in America to say that the people coming up in that caravan must be a bunch of criminals when we have never experienced their life.
That's right.
Some of them were mothers who are being abused and their children are being abused. And their country will do nothing about it. And they're desperate. If we serve a God that stands for the oppressed, we need to be a people who stand for the oppressed.
Amen.
And I don't know how that's going to work out in our lives. Maybe it means giving money to something, I don't know, but we need to be a people who have a heart for those who are desperate and don't know what else to do.
That's right, that's right.
My Bible changed pages on me. We were going to go right to Amos. He ends up by saying, verse 21 could be translated a couple of different ways. My translation says he will avenge their blood. But that's not what the word means. It means clean. I think what he's saying is, he's talking about restoration. That's this whole message is about restoration. And what he's saying is, whoever has not been cleansed of their blood guiltiness, because the word blood can mean blood guiltiness, I will clean them. Did you notice who's doing what? He doesn't sit there and say, okay, make sacrifices. By the way, they've already done that. They've had a day of fasting. They've already returned to the Lord. So he doesn't need to say that. What he's saying is, now that you've done that, I'm the one who cleanses. I mean, isn't that why we're here?
Amen.
Boy, man, when... Bobby, you tore me up today. When he said, I'm the one that should have been on the cross. Me too. I cannot cleanse myself. Our God is a God who loves to restore. And the story of the cross is the sacrifice of God so that we can be restored.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Amen.
So I think there's two main lessons from this. Number one, we need to be a people who is concerned about justice. And if that means that we start off just for praying about it, then praise God. Let's pray.
Amen.
Maybe we don't know what else to do.
No.
So we pray. Secondly, God has always intended His people to be a people from which His waters flow into and out of. This water that comes from the throne of God, it goes to the desert.
Yeah.
See, you and I, we know a lot of people that are in the desert.
Yeah.
And life is beating them up. And they don't think they have any options. They don't know what else to do. They're the ones that ask you, do you think God could forgive me? They've turned to whatever it is one more time, and it sucked the soul right out of them. And they're dry, and they don't know where life could come from next because they're just tore up. It's the father from Sandy Hook who just took his life.
Yeah.
Because his whole life was stolen from him and he didn't know where else to go. And you and I, we have the waters of God flowing into us. And we ought to have those waters flowing out of us to the very valley or the wadi of the acacia trees. Where they haven't seen water in decades. We ought to be a source of God's comfort. I believe that's what Ezekiel 47 is saying. I think that's what Revelation 22 is saying. And I'm not trying to destroy people's image of heaven. I'm just saying I think God means this is my church.
Yeah.
My church is a place where the river comes right from my throne into the church and it flows outward and people can come in and they can drink of the water of life.
Amen.
I'm I'm not concerned if we're a big church or a wealthy church. God blessed us. Don't get me wrong. I feel very blessed here.
Amen.
My concern is, do we have the water of life flowing into us and out of us? And that needs to be where we come and we drink from those waters together. Because sometimes, even though we don't act like it when we show up on a Sunday morning, sometimes we are the wadi of acacia trees.
Yeah.
And we come in and people say, "Hey, how are you doing?" We're like, "Hey, I'm blessed." And inside we're all dried up. We need to be a place where we can come up and say, "I'm a little bit dry this week.
Yeah.
You got some water of life for me."
Yeah, man.
I ought to be a place where we can come and say, "You know what? I've had struggles this week, and I'm drying myself up, and my soul is withering away inside of me." But we also ought to be a place where this water flows into us and it flows outward. I had a guy in my prison Bible study. He was there a little bit early and he came up to me and he said, "I'm not sure I'm going to come anymore because this guy that's coming, he just gets on my nerves." He's been kicked out of all the other Bible studies because he just focuses in on negative stuff and he won't let it go. I said, "Well, I need you to understand, I'm not kicking him out." We have people around us who are so dry. And God did not pour His water into us so we can just gather around and say, "Praise God, we are well watered." He intends for that water to flow out to the dry places. So, we support some missionaries in Nigeria. Nigeria is the 12th most dangerous place for Christians on the planet. You think there's some dryness there?
Yeah.
I'm so thankful that we support. Because I think the gentlemen that we support, they have the water of God flowing in them and they're trying to spread that water out and they're doing it at great risk to themselves.
Yeah.
I don't know how all of this works in our individual lives. It's going to be different for every one of us, right?
Yeah.
But here's what I know. Our God is a God of justice. And sometimes that looks like judgment. Because sometimes it has to be judgment. Cindy and I watched a movie about Bonnie and Clyde yesterday. And if there's any truth to this movie at all, in order to stop Bonnie and Clyde, they were not going to sit down and say, "Hey, we love you too, you need to stop it."
No.
Yep. So, yeah, some of the things that God does, I need to wrestle with. Absolutely. But I trust my God.
Me too.
And I trust that He is a God of justice. And He knows when the harvest time is ready. And I also know that the rivers of life come from the very throne of God. And they flow in, and they're intended to flow out. So, My encouragement to you this week is that may you be a blessing of living water to those you meet throughout this week. I mean, always, but you know, this week.
Yes.
If there's anyone here this morning that needs prayers for any reason, I encourage you. Every one of us have moments when we get dry in our life. So don't be afraid to let us know what you're struggling with because you think, man, those people aren't going to get me. Man, we got drug addicts. We got alcoholics. We got porn addicts here. You can tell us whatever. We are going to know what that dryness looks like. And we're not going to judge you. We're going to pray with you.
Amen.
We want to be a water of life flowing through us into you. If you need prayers, that's our goal. If you want to know more about our God, we're not going to be able to sit down with you in 20 minutes and discuss that, but we love to talk about God. And our God is a God that longs to restore. And He's waiting for us to come to Him and say, Lord, redeem me. I'm a sinner. And in that moment, He'll say, I want you to die to yourself. I want you to be buried. And I will resurrect you to new life.
Amen.
There is restoration in our God. Whatever you need, please come as God, we stand in.